to Talk About It Friday with your host, Wayne Clark and Nicole Glazier. Find us on talkaboutitfridaypodcast.com.
Hey, what is up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Talk About It Friday with just me, no co-host, just Square Wayne with Fred Berry. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine, Wayne. I appreciate you inviting me into your studio across the pond. Everything is great. Thank you.
That's absolutely awesome, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to find out a little bit about you before we move on to what you do. So can you tell people a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm a retired banker, and I started writing novels. I always wanted to write. When I was in high school, my teacher changed my view of things with literature because we read two books, The Tale of Two Cities and The Merchant of Venice, and we broke it down chapter by chapter as to what the author was trying to convey. And it just grabbed my interest so much that I just delved into literature and wanting to write.
Wow, that's awesome. So who is Fred Berry?
Fred Berry, again, is a retired banker, married with three children. We are here in the United States, originally from New York, retired to Florida, and, been around the block a few times.
I love that. So, a banker is a really good job, right?
It is. I worked for one of the largest institutions in the United States. My title was financial specialist. We did annuities. We did money markets. We did mutual funds, investments, equities, and like that, all had to do with banking.
So what is that something that you do now, or have you just gone into full-time, being an author and writer?
Full-time retired. I'm 74. And just enjoying life and writing.
Wow, that's impressive. So has your kids gone on to doing something similar to what you do?
No, not at all. Our kids are not taking any advice from their parents. They just go on their own life.
Every father's dream. Well, I wouldn't say every father's dream, but, maybe one day that my son will look at what I do and say, you know what, I want to do something like that. But, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope so. Maybe my grandson. I wrote a children's book for him as well, about him.
All right. So it's you've written a children's book, and you do crime as well, right?
Correct. Crime, thriller, mysteries, detective stories are two of them. I'm going to write a third for a trilogy. It's featuring homicide detective Johnny Vero, is his name. And the first book was Cousins Bad Blood. That's about a young fellow who comes from Italy to the United States and, goes through life. He's goes out and gets a job, but doesn't like working for other people. So he goes on to business by himself, but along comes prohibition. And then he gets into bootlegging and then to loan sharking and then becomes one of the most powerful men in the United States, even putting someone into the White House. And that's Cousins Bad Blood. From there, I went on to write a detective mystery, a 10 Cents a Dance featuring homicide detective Johnny Vero. And then the second in that series is Bullets Before Dawn, Murder in Chinatown featuring homicide detective Johnny Vero. And that came about by my friend and I, who grew up together in New York. He was a detective. He retired to Florida here in Vero Beach, and I retired in Jupiter, Florida. He passed away, and after that, I made a homage to him because his email was Johnny Vero, so I made a homage to him, homicide detective Johnny Vero. And he was a detective. And wow. Then I made a book for my grandson, The Adventures of Carmelo. It speaks about a two-year-old's adventure taking swim survival lessons. And it shows that, you can be scared. Little children are scared of things that are uncertain. So it's okay to be scared, what it is to be brave, and how to listen and how to show respect. So there's learning tools there for two-year-olds.
Wow, that's impressive. So, you know, with your crime novel, the one that you've written and the one that we're, you know, talking about, I was going to say is that, you know, with crime, there is, you know, I've spoken to loads of people, you know, they say that there's a lot of research involved.
Yes, there is definitely, and thankfully there's Google.
I know. I did attempt that one time. Didn't quite work out.
it takes a lot of time and effort to go through the research, without a doubt. And a lot of and it's fiction, you know. On my on one of my favorite sayings that I created was, "Twist, turn, and bend the truth. Now it's fiction."
You know, when
And
you say sorry for, but when you say fiction as well, I really am intrigued in the word fiction because I was once upon a time I was trying to write a crime novel which was fiction, but then I was getting a lot of backlash from that because they were saying, "Oh, well, you know, forensics has got to be, you know, correct. You know, you've really got to study forensics and, you know, all the crime stuff before you start writing a fiction." But it's fiction for a reason. It's called fiction.
Correct. I agree with that. Yes, without a doubt, I agree with that. Fiction is fiction. So even if some of it might be not so, not truth, but it is fiction. You're right. Exactly right. It is
Yeah,
fiction.
what's the big deal?
Yeah, exactly. What's the big deal? You know, you're making it up. And I agree with you. How did it go with you? Did you finish the book?
I kind of turned it into just a thriller because there was
Oh.
too much backlash, and I was like, "Well, I ain't got the energy to, you know, battle every reader and say, look, this is how it is." I think we need a bit more awareness on the word fiction,
Yes.
you know, for people to really understand. Because I think that personally that the readers, I believe that they are in the wrong zone. If they want to read a crime novel, then they need to look at, you know, the non-fiction.
Yeah, true crime, correct. Yes, I agree with it. And I love one of the quotes from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said, "Great books are weighed and measured by their style and matter, and not the trimmings and shadings of their grammar." So, you know, you can write a book. It's the composite of what the story is about and what the author is trying to tell you.
Yeah, I totally understand that. As well as you know, with me being dyslexic as well, I you know, there's a lot of authors out there that suffer with that will still write and not be ashamed of that.
Correct. And you know, a lot of people, you know, might comment on that, but you know, they're missing out on what the story is about and what the author is trying to convey.
Absolutely. So with this book, the this is, you know, is this the first crime novel you've written, or have you written more?
No, the one before that, 10 Cents a Dance, also featuring homicide detective Johnny Vero. That's a crime novel. It's about a serial killer, and actually the detective from New York. These few books have been set in, you know, the 1940s. I just like writing in that era. I just happen to like that time of life where things were a lot simpler, and you know, men were ties and women wore dresses.
Oh no, I was, you know, that's funny because me and my partner was having this conversation a couple of nights ago that I think now today's age that there's so much technology going around, so you're distracted by your phone, where back in the days, you know, that was life, you know, everything in front of you was what it was,
Correct.
you know,
Yes, exactly.
exactly. And we just get so sucked in today.
Yes, and you just have to be careful as to, you know, not getting sucked into that. And it's difficult because social media has changed life completely.
Yeah, I totally agree. So, with the first book that you've written, can you tell us a little bit about that in terms of, you know, building the characters?
Sure. First, I was going to be writing a book. I was going to entitle it "Out of the Bronx." It was going to be about a district attorney woman, first woman district attorney, and what was going on in the Bronx, New York. And at that time, a movie came out, and the name of the movie was The Bronx Tale. And I could not go on and say to myself, I said to myself, you know, I can't write a book entitled Out of the Bronx when this movie Bronx Tale came out. So I had to change the whole storyline. I had started writing in a spiral notebook because I was still working full time. And I was making all my notes and writing the story, handwriting in the spiral notebook. And my daughter, who had her office in our home, you know, says, why don't you start to use the computer and learn about using the computer? And I'll show you how you can do things and save it and start there. And what I did was I had this house in Jupiter, Florida that had had four big sliding glass doors going out to the patio. And I started to make a storyboard with little sticky notes, and I was writing the characters and the plot and where I wanted who to go where. And I would start switching the yellow stickies all around, placing them in different places. And the sticky notes wore out. I had to start to use scotch tape on the glass doors. And I created the story with a storyboard. And then I finally went to the computer and I started writing on the computer. And my daughter showed me how I could save it. And it just went on from there. So I've been using the computer ever since to continue to write, which is a godsend. It's enjoyable. My first book, I couldn't sleep. I'd be up in the middle of the night and I'd be thinking of characters. And, you know, like I said before, you know, twist, turn, and bend the truth. Now it's fiction. So sometimes there's truth to some of the story and you have to turn it around and change the characters and just tweak it a little bit so that it flows to the story that you're trying to create. And that's how my first story began. And the second book, 10 Cents a Dance, featuring homicide detective Johnny Vero. I wanted to write a crime story, so I wrote a crime story, and I intertwined the detective into how he was going to solve this crime. How do you think of characters? That's a good question. I try to listen carefully to names, places. I look at street names to create characters, and you might take a name from one place and another name from another place and sort of combine it together and build your characters.
Wow, that's so impressive. Mm-hmm. Like, how many characters would you say that's in your book?
The first book, probably there's a few protagonists in that book. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4. There's like 4 main characters in the first book. The second book, that was Cousins Bad Blood. The second book, 10 Cents a Dance. There's 1, 2, 3 main characters. And in the book after that, Bullets Before Dawn, Murder in Chinatown, I would say there's at least 4 characters. 4 main characters. You have sub characters and you have subplots, and that's what I had to learn to do, because you know you're focusing on your story, but you have to realize that these people have lives away from the main story, and you have to create subplots to bring in their personal life and you know what they might be doing after work or during work or someone in that realm.
Yeah. Wow. How is you briefly mentioned about you as handwriting?
Yes, I would handwrite it. I was handwriting my first story, Cousins Bad Blood, longhand in a spiral notebook. And then again, when the movie came out, I was the name of my book was going to be Out of the Bronx, because it was going to be a woman district attorney in the Bronx, the first woman district attorney ever. But again, the movie came out, and I had to change the title. By changing the title, I changed the whole story, but kept some characteristics of my original storyline in there.
Wow! Can you tell me how much did you write of the book? You know, handwriting.
Probably each book probably has maybe 60,000 words. So the first book, I probably wrote at least 10,000 words.
Oh,
yeah!
Wow!
So then I had to go in and I had to, as I was rewriting the story, I'd go in with a red pen and I had to cross out and make notes and had to change it. Then finally I was able to put it on the computer.
So how are you liking from handwriting to computer? What's best? So, you know, it's a really good question because have this conversation with a lot of people on Twitter. It's like I say, what do you prefer? And so some people come back and say, well, you know what? I write on napkins or anything that I can, you know, come across, you know, because they want to get the idea down. So what would it be for you?
Well, I prefer the computer, but I do always carry a pad and a pen with me, no matter where I'm going. You know, even if I go to the beach, I have a pad and pen somewhere near me or over to the pool that I can make a note if I think of something or if I hear something or a name or something like that I can contrive later on. And I have a list, you know, I have lists on my computer of names and that I want to use, my upcoming ideas of novels that I have in the pipeline. You know, I have two more sequels to write. I have a sequel to Cousins Bad Blood, my first novel, and then I'm going to finish writing a trilogy for the homicide detective Johnny Vero stories. And then I have I'm in the middle of writing another murder mystery. It's called The Murder on Contadora Island, which is an island off of Panama, the Bay of Panama. And then I have another one in the pipeline that as I think of things, I make notes and put it on a side. But you can't not make a note because you'll forget about it. Particularly when you get senior moments.
No, that's true.
So,
yeah,
that's how I operate.
No, that's pretty impressive as well. I was going to say, like, how many books in the series are you going to be doing?
Well, the first one, Cousins Bad Blood, I'm going to write a sequel to that. And then the homicide detective Johnny Vero, I have one, 10 Cents to Dance, and this one, Bullets Before Dawn, Murder in Chinatown. I'm going to write a third one for that, so that'll be a trilogy. And that will be it on those series, and then I'll just continue to write. And I hope to make a series out of the children's book. The children's book is called Adventures of Carmelo. My grandson's name is Carmelo.
Yeah.
And this adventure is his swim survival lesson. So I'm going to do a series on Adventures of Carmelo, of the different things that he does, but it's learning lessons for children.
Yeah, no, this is good. So with the crime novels, I will be going on to talk about the children's book, but the crime novels at the moment is something that I wanted to ask you. What future do you see for it?
Well, I like it, you know, and I assume that there are others out there who like that genre. You know, the genres these days are incredibly so different and vast. You know, it isn't just like romance. It isn't like fiction. It's romance. Then you have cozy romance. Then you have erotica. Then you have the same thing with thrillers. You know, you'll have murder mysteries, and then you'll have a different type of thriller. Then you'll have real crime. And each genre has subcategories in it. And it's so vast that it's difficult as to say what your audience is going to like.
Yeah,
that's what I've been finding.
Yeah. So what are your reviews like on the book at the moment, the actual series?
Well, actually, I won a 5-star award from Reader's Favorite. The reviews are really all basically 5 stars.
Oh, that's really good. Because the only reason why I asked this is because I know from interviewing a guy called David P. Perlmutter from Twitter, and he's turning his book into a movie. Now, I don't know whether that's something that you thought of, or is that on your mind?
Oh, of course, every author has that on their mind. You know, the expression is you want to get picked up, and that means you want to get picked up for a movie or a TV series, something along that line. And that's, I believe that's every author's dream, is to get picked up. And I don't know what he's doing as to how he got that far, but that would be interesting to know and find out.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome. So there's other things that I know about you as well. So I know that, is it you're a public speaker?
I did some public speaking, yes, in the past. I haven't done it in quite a while. And I would hold seminars for motivation as well as the other business that I was in.
I believe that this would be interesting for the listeners to, you know more about this, if that's all right with you.
I would give motivational talks and encourage people, show them how to do things basically for business and how to starting a business and what you have to do along the way in order to succeed. And one of the main areas that I did do this public speaking in was way back when I was in the contract cleaning business in New York. And, you know, I built a pretty substantial business. We had over 100 employees working. And so many people would come to me for advice. And that's what I started doing the public speaking basically in as workshops and classes, but large public speaking as well.
Well, so, you know, it's that when before we were, you know, we were just talking a minute ago, before we was talking about the public speaking, you'd think you're an ordinary guy. That's just an author, you know, that just writes books. But honestly, when you really listen to someone, you can find out a lot.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, that's the expression. You know, we have two ears and one mouth. You have to listen first before you speak. That's important. So if I can convey a message to someone, you know, if I have a room of a few hundred people and only one of them walks out and is able to apply and learn something and succeed with it, then I've accomplished something.
Do you know what? There was this guy that said exactly the same thing as you, and that really just triggered, because I love that. It's not about helping millions, thousands, hundreds. It's just about helping that one person. If you can say in your mind, I'm just out to help one person, you'll succeed that.
Right. Correct. You know, it's interesting because coming from your part of the world, I'm sure you're familiar with Winston Churchill. And I love one of the sayings that he said. And he said, we are all worms, but I believe I'm a glowworm.
I love that.
So if you're a glowworm, you know, what are you shining to other people? You know, if you can put a glow into them of anything, just one thing out of the hundreds of thousands of people you come in contact, it's just the one person who could walk away with something, they can succeed as well.
That's absolutely true. So we know that you're a public speaker and you've been on TV as well.
I've done commercials locally, some voiceovers as well. I played a judge on a few commercials for a local local company with their commercials. But I've done some voiceovers also, and it's fun. A lot of work, a lot of fun, and that is a completely different gig and ball game to get into, because it's not easy. You know, the entertainment business, as you well know, Wayne, is not an easy thing to do and succeed in.
Oh, that is true. I totally agree. So, you know, with you, you know, writing and, you know, really pushing your books out there, I mean, do you do it all? Do you have a team behind you, like helping you market this?
No, that's
an emerging romance author, MeganGainish.com.
That was an interesting question, and I appreciate that. We were talking about marketing. To me, I find that it's easy writing a story. That's the first phase. The second phase is getting it edited. You know, some authors have beta readers, which I don't. And you try to edit the best you can by yourself. But it's always wise to get it edited by a professional. And then the third phase is getting it published. That's not a difficult task, because today's market, traditional publishers are not going to pick you up. They're not going to pick you up unless you're famous, or you have a TV show or radio show. So you have to go to self-publishing. And that's the third phase. And it's not difficult. It just becomes expensive. And the fourth and last phase is what you spoke about, marketing. That's the demon in disguise, because no one tells you that, about how you have to market or how you can market. And it's very difficult. You do as many shows as you can. You join as many organizations as you can that can help you promote your social media as well. So it's constant until you reach a point where someone can help you, or you can afford to hire people to help you. But until that time, you're on your own.
That is true. And, you know, I love it when you actually brought that up, when you turned around and said that it is hard to, you know, get a traditional publisher, because you are right. And again, now I do feel that there needs to be awareness on this as well. I could say that, you know, let's slap awareness on that. Let's slap awareness on that. But it is true. You know, I think everybody has got this idea in their head that, oh, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to get this published traditionally. It doesn't work like that in this day and age anymore.
Not at all. The publishing business has changed. It's done 360-degree change completely from what individuals think it's like. And there are many, many authors, people writing out there. They think they're going to write the number one bestseller ever. And I found out to get on the New York Times bestseller list, that in itself was research to try to find out how do you get on that list. And finally, after a lot of research, calling and speaking to many people, I was told it's almost a secret, Wayne, but I was told that in order to get on the New York Times bestseller list, you have to sell 5,000 units the first week.
Wow. That's a lot of books.
So that's a lot of books. Exactly. Again, unless you're a radio personality like yourself, you probably could hit it.
Yeah, I believe that these people don't mean Kindle versions, right?
No.
They mean paperback.
No. Paperback.
Right. Oh, they're going hard. There you go.
Or hard copy, yeah, or paperback, right? No, wow. Kindle.
Mm-hmm. No. So we've talked about the future of this, you know, incredible novel of yours, series. I did want to, you know, bring up a point, is that are you going to bring Audible to this, or is this already out?
Which book is out?
The Audible. Are you doing Audible?
Audiobook, yeah. Well, I'm working on the first one is the children's book, Adventure of Carmelo. That is almost finished on audio. Yes, everyone will be going on audio, without a doubt.
You are fantastic. So, you know, this is you. You know, you're creating a lot of fantastic books. You bring them to Audible, you know, Audible as well. So, guys, honestly, Audible as well. This is incredible.
Yes.
So, with the children's book, let's talk a little bit more about that. You know, about that. What's your aim with that?
My aim is to turn it into a series, as I mentioned before, Adventures of Carmelo. This was a swim survival lesson, and then I will go on with a series. For example, we had to go get eyeglasses, and what it's like for a young child to go get eyeglasses and get tested, and not to be fearful of, you know, having things put up to your face and your eyes. So it's a learning experience, basically, for children. In the series that I'm going to plan out.
That's awesome. I believe that, you know, my son needs a haircut. He won't go he won't go to the barbers. We need to create books for that.
Yeah. Oh, that's one on the list too.
Yeah, you know, but honestly, exactly. This is a really good thing. I mean, I think it again is more awareness, you know, for to say like, okay, you know, kids do fear, don't they? They fear a lot of, you know, totally different things. And, you know, well, one of them, when I was a kid, I feared the opticians. You know,
yes.
You know, because I was frightened, you know, these big machines, you know, they're bringing all these machines at you, and you're like, okay, you know, I'm just a little kid.
Yeah, exactly. And you
Yeah.
know, the big adults, and they come in with their white coats on, and they don't like to go to doctors to begin with because they figure that they might get a shot or injection or something. But yeah, I believe that, and I can understand that and appreciate what they have to go through. So I try to convey that.
That's incredible. So where can people find you?
They can find me on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, or any online outlet, and they can also find me on my website. And all they have to do is go to Fred Berry. That's FredBerry, FredBerry.com. And on my website, if you go to the tab that says the library, all my books are listed there. And all you have to do is click on the image to purchase, and it'll take you right to where you can purchase.
That is fantastic. And we really appreciate you coming onto the show and giving us this opportunity. Is there anything that you would say to someone that wants to write crime?
Yes, don't stop. Just keep writing. And one of the things you have to learn is to write. And even though you might be making mistakes along the way, continue to write. And when you think that you're finished, you should go back and you have to rewrite it and think of how you can change the things that you're writing about. You have to create conflict and tension. You have to leave some things unclear for the next chapter. I keep my chapters very short just for that reason, so that many people these days, particularly young ones, don't like to devote that much time to reading. So all my chapters are very short, so you can flip the chapter, you can stop. You don't have to, go through thousands of words before the chapter ends to end that chapter. And sometimes when you're in a hurry, you're not absorbing or getting a lot of comprehension. So all my chapters are short just for that particular reason. So just I could tell them to, as you're writing, you have to show what you want the reader to see. You can't tell them what you want them to see or read.
That's
You have
true.
to show them. So, after a while, you start to hone your craft a little bit better. Each novel, each sentence, each chapter becomes better. It should be, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, thank you ever so much for giving me this opportunity, and I'll catch up with you after the show.
I appreciate that, Wayne, and it was nice to come across the pond and visit with you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. You take care, my friend.
Okay, you
Bye
too.
now.
Welcome to Talk About It Friday with your host, Wayne Clark and Nicole Glosier. Find us on talkaboutitfridaypodcast.com.